Let's turn in God's Word this evening to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll read together the first 16 verses of the chapter. Text for the sermon tonight will be verses 3 through 8. Verses 3 through 16 really stand together as a unit, all of it having to do with instruction concerning widows. Somewhat difficult to break it up. But tonight we'll look at some of the main themes developed in verses 3 through 8. So pay special attention to those verses as we read them. We will not reread them again after we read the first 16 verses. So the Word of God now at 1 Timothy chapter 5, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed." So far we read the chapter. I take it back. I'm going to read again the text. Let's reread 3 through 8. "Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." I'm not going to say much about verse 6, but tie that in with what comes after in verses 9 and following. But we'll read it now. "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, our God loves and has a concern for the widows of His church. And because He has a love and concern for the widows of His church, Jesus Christ did too. And Jesus Christ certainly, of course, died for the widows of the congregation. God has a concern for the widows, and therefore we too, as a congregation and as families, must have a concern for and love for the widows of our congregation. Really, it's the cross that stands behind God's care of all of us as members of the church. All of the different segments of the church are cared for by God because Jesus Christ died for them all. And that's why the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy instructs us concerning all the various segments that are found in the church. God is concerned about all of us in the various circumstances of our life, ultimately because we have been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. In a special way, does God have a concern for the widows? He loves the widows. And in their being widows, God cares for them. And the Word of God to us tonight and next week from 1 Timothy chapter 5 is that as congregation and as families, we too must have that same love of God in Christ for the widows of our own congregation and for the widows that are our family members. Beloved, when you look at this section in 1 Timothy 5 from a broad point of view, take a step back and look at it from a general point of view, you cannot help but be impressed with the fact that as a member of the church, you are cared for. That's what you see when you look at these verses. What you see here is that if you are a member of the church, God has a concern for you. And everybody in the body of Christ must have a concern for you. Ultimately, it goes back to the second great commandment taught to us by Jesus Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. And our neighbors are those who are closest to us. Our neighbors are our own family members, our own mothers who may be widows, our own parents who may be aged, and our fellow church members here at Trinity and more broadly. If there is any place that the love for the neighbor must be on display, it is here. And that is an amazing thing when you think about it. You can look around at everybody else in this congregation sitting in this building tonight, and you can know that each one of them loves me and has a concern for me and desires to care for me. That's what it means to be a member of a church of Jesus Christ. And that's what it means for all of us as we look at those who may be widows in the congregation or look at those who may be widows in our families. And as we look at more generally those who are our parents and aged, we look at them. And because we are members of the church, we love them, have a concern for them, and want to care for them. Beautiful thing about being in the church when you step back and look at truths like this is to know that we're not in this alone, this battle of faith here on this earth. And as we strive to have our needs taken care of, we're not in this alone, but we have one another in our immediate families and more broadly in our church family. What a blessing it is indeed to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. We see that tonight as it relates to the widows in God's church. Let's look at this using as our theme, caring for the widows in the church. We notice in the first place the widows, and then in the second place the care that we must show to them. And then in the third place we take note of the fact that Paul in a special way points out that this must be taught to the congregation and thereby shows the importance of this truth in particular. Caring for the widows in the church. The widows, the care, and the instruction. It's clear when you read 1 Timothy chapter 5 that the Apostle Paul is spending a significant amount of time talking about the widows in the church of Ephesus. Certainly, Paul himself thought that this instruction concerning widows was important. Certainly, Timothy considered this to be important to hear. Certainly, it was important for the church in Ephesus, who undoubtedly had widows, to hear this instruction. And as well, of course, it's important for us as the New Testament church to hear this word concerning widows. It's significant just in the fact alone that the Apostle Paul dedicates almost the entirety of this first half of chapter 5, verses 3 through 16, to instruction concerning widows. Just the amount of space that he gives to this instruction concerning widows indicates just how important this matter is in the New Testament church. Now, it may have been the case that there was issues in the church of Ephesus regarding the widows themselves and the care of those widows among the members. It may have been the case that when the Apostle Paul was in Ephesus during his missionary journeys, he encountered this issue. In now writing back to Timothy many years later, who is in that church, he feels the burden, inspired by the Spirit, of course, to instruct them concerning widows. Or it may have been the case that Timothy ran into these issues while he was in the church of Ephesus in some way related to the Apostle Paul, that this is what I am dealing with. Paul, help me understand what to do for the edification of the church here in Ephesus. But regardless of the circumstances that stand behind this instruction, just the fact that it's in the Scriptures is important for you and me this evening. We need to hear this word about widows. And furthermore, it's a word that fits nicely within the main theme of this entire epistle. We noted that many times already in connection with 1 Timothy, that the main theme is expressed in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Behold, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. All of the instruction of 1 Timothy can be placed under that main theme, how the church is to behave in the house of God. And if we as a congregation here at Trinity are going to behave properly as members of God's house, certainly we need to do that with respect to how we view and how we care for the widows in our midst and in our families. This is important instruction for the New Testament church. Studying 1 Timothy chapter 5 obviously directs our attention to widows. And it really struck me in studying for this sermon and anticipating the next couple of sermons from this section just how prominent of a place widows have not only in this epistle, but in the entire Word of God. It's not an exaggeration to say that from the beginning of the Scriptures to the end of the Scriptures, it is filled with instruction concerning and examples of widows throughout the church's history in the Old and New Testament. I bring this up because it may be a good exercise, for example, next week Sunday afternoon to look at that. Find a good concordance online or an actual book concordance and look up all of the different places you find widow or widows in the Scriptures. You would be surprised at how much instruction is found in the Word of God concerning widows. And I bring this up as well just to impress upon us the significance of widows and the important place that they have in the eyes of God and therefore must have in our own eyes as members of the church. If God deemed it necessary to set forth in many places in the Scriptures instruction about widows, so ought we to have a high view of them in the church and to care for them in a good way. I can't take the time tonight to look at all of the examples, but I will show you from the beginning to the end of the Word of God that there is, in fact, these words concerning the widows. Here are just a few examples. Think, for example, of Old Testament history in the first place. In 1 Kings chapter 17, you have the history of the well-known prophet Elisha in the dealings that he had with the widow of Zarephath. Think about, for example, as well in Old Testament history, the successor of Elisha, Elijah. I got that mixed up. Elijah is the first with the widow of Zarephath. Elisha is the second in 2 Kings chapter 4. And we read of his history that he had with the widow who had two sons, and his miracle of multiplying the oil so that the widow was able to pay her debt and to be cared for. But right there in the Old Testament, with the prophet Elisha, we see the importance of caring for the widows in God's church. The Psalms, we sang from Psalm 68 a moment ago. Psalm 68 says about God in verse 5 that He is a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. Another Psalm, 146 verse 9, says this, "The Lord preserveth the strangers, He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked He turneth upside down." Explicit statements that say that God is the God of the widows. New Testament history. Jesus in His ministry had interaction with widows. Luke 7, verses 11 through 15. We read this, "And it came to pass the day after that He went into the city called Nain, and many of His disciples went with Him and much people. Now when He came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her." And if you read, you know the history well. What Jesus did was raise the son of the widow of Nain. Jesus, we know of, only raised a few people from the dead during His earthly ministry. One of them was the son of a widow. And certainly He did that with an eye on the fact that she was a widow and needed to be cared for by her son. Jesus gives us other instruction concerning widows in Mark 12:41 through 44. That's the instruction of the widow who gave her two mites to the church. And then you can think about the other New Testament history in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, we read about the institution of the diaconate. Professor Dykstra last week, Sunday night, mentioned a little bit of this history. The diaconate in the church arose out of the fact that the widows in the church of Jerusalem were not being cared for adequately. And due to that fact, God led the church to institute deacons so that those deacons in turn would be able to care for the widows. And then just one more specific instruction in the epistles in the New Testament. Very well-known word of James in chapter 1, verse 27. "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep Himself unspotted from the world." The essence of true religion, as it shows itself in the way that we live, is to love one another. And the example that James uses is that of widows, to go and to care for the widows of the church. From beginning to end, God shows that we are to have a concern for widows. And now here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we have extensive instruction concerning widows in the church. The main exhortation of the Apostle Paul is to honor the widows that are widows indeed. That's verse 3, of course. Honor widows that are widows indeed. And that really stands as the heading of all of the instruction found in this section going up to verse 16. As a congregation, we are to honor the widows. Now, in these verses, the Apostle Paul makes clear what it means to honor them, in fact. It's not simply the honor as it is expressed in the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, show respect for thy father and thy mother. It is that, certainly. We must have that respect for the older saints, and in particular the widows in the church. But the honoring of the widows in this context is the care that we must have for the widows. This entire section sets forth the main theme that as families and as a congregation, we must care for the widows of the church. Care for them in all of their needs, specifically, as we will see, their physical needs. And in the way of caring for them in that way, we show that we are honoring the widows in the congregation. At the outset here, as we consider some of these verses tonight and anticipate considering the rest of them in the next couple of weeks, we need to understand the distinction that the Apostle Paul makes among widows in the congregation. You'll notice that when you read these verses, he talks about those who are simply widows, and he talks about those who are widows indeed. Or to translate that a different way, those who are truly widows. Take note simply of the fact that he uses that expression to describe some of the widows. Verse 3, the main exhortation, honor widows that are truly widows. Verse 5, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Although it's not part of the text specifically, verse 16, the conclusion of this section. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged that it, the church, may relieve them that are widows indeed. So the Apostle Paul in this section is drawing a distinction between two types of widows, those who he describes simply as widows and those who he describes as widows indeed. And it's necessary for us to understand that distinction if we are going to understand the rest of what the Apostle Paul says in these verses. Really, that distinction governs much of what he says in these verses concerning the care of these widows. Verses 4 and 5, in a good way, set forth the distinction between those two. He starts with verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed, truly widows. Verse 4, he begins with a contrast. He uses the word but. In contrast to those who are truly widows is this type of widow, a widow that has children or nephews, which children they must learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. So verse 4 teaches us that there is a certain type of widow, a widow that has family, children. As we will see, nephews really should be grandchildren, immediate family that is able to help their mother and grandmother who is a widow. Verse 5 then goes back to and describes this widow indeed, this one who is truly a widow in the context of what Paul is saying here. This is the description of that widow. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. And the important word there is desolate. In contrast to the other widows who have children and grandchildren that can care for them, a true widow in this context is one who is desolate, one whose circumstance is such that she does not have that family and therefore does not have a means by which she can be cared for in her life on this earth. That's the widow that is truly a widow. And that's supported by what we have in verse 16 as well. If any woman or man that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged. So that one over here that we talked about first, that the church may relieve those that are widows truly, exactly because they are desolate. That widow also will show herself to be godly. The widow that will be cared for by the church. That's the other distinction that is made in this passage. And we'll come back to that in the next couple of weeks. Those widows that do not go forth in godliness in their life. A true widow, which will be cared for by the church, is one, as verse 5 describes her, that trusteth in God, continueth in supplications, prayer, day and night. She's a woman who, although her circumstance is very difficult, Yet she still prays to God continually, and she's still trusting God for all of her needs, that God will care for her day by day. So that's the distinction that the Apostle Paul makes when we see the widows in this passage. And I want to make that clear this evening, because we must not walk out tonight and think that you're only truly a widow if you don't have family and therefore are not able to be cared for by your children or grandchildren. If that's your circumstance, you're not really a widow. That's not the point of the Apostle Paul. He identifies all of them as widows. They are still widows. But a true widow, as it relates to what he says here, is simply one who does not have family and must be cared for altogether by the church. All those who have lost a spouse in one way or another are widows. And by using this description, truly widows, Paul in no way, shape, or form is minimizing the burden that that is for some women in the congregation. It certainly is. They're still widows, true widows, who according to the will of God have lost their husband in one way or another. And they have needs. One way or the other, they have needs. It may not be the physical needs of which the apostle is talking about here, but they have the simple needs of being a widow, of having the circumstance in their life such that at one time they had a husband, but now they don't have a husband. And that is a burden, as we all know, placed upon a woman in the congregation. Burden of loneliness, burden of striving to be at peace and to be content with that way for them in their life here on this earth. But by this description of widows indeed, Paul is not minimizing that. They are widows, and they need to be cared for with respect to their emotional and with respect to their spiritual needs. But in this context, he is talking about the physical needs that they must have. But based on that distinction, the Apostle Paul goes forward to explain that all of them must be cared for. And that's what we move into now in the second point of the sermon, the care that must be given to widows in the church. A couple of points by way of introduction to the second point of the sermon. Number one, what stands behind the truth of this text is the fact that widows have a unique need. They have a unique need when it comes to their physical needs here on this earth. It's unique because of the Christian truth regarding the headship of a husband over his wife, and the fact that the husband, as the head of the home, is called to care for the home with respect to the physical needs of the home. We recognize that if you are a widow who at one time had a husband who cared for those needs and now the husband is no longer, you stand in a very precarious position. And such a woman especially stands in that precarious position if she is younger and has children at home still. But the unique need of a widow is such that she no longer has her husband, a husband who had the responsibility to care for her in her earthly needs. What I just stated there is implied by what we have in verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. The younger women are to marry, and their main responsibility, and we'll talk about this in a couple of sermons to come, is to guide the house. And the implication there is that they guide the house because the husband to whom they are married is the one working and providing for that house. A widow doesn't have that anymore. And so with respect to physical needs, she must be cared for. The second point, by way of introduction to this second point having to do with the care of widows, is that we live at a time where We need to be very conscious about the responsibility that we have as a church and as families to care for specifically the widows and to care for more generally the aged parents of the congregation and our families. I say that we need to be very conscious about that because we live at a time when we can fall into the danger of letting others do all of the work of caring for widows and aged parents. Certainly different than what it would have been like for these families in the church of Ephesus, where the mother and the parents in their old age would be possibly living with the families in their homes. So that, of course, you had to be very active every day because mother, father, grandmother, grandfather was right there with you in your home. And therefore, as children and grandchildren, you were constantly with mother and grandmother, caring for them in their everyday needs. It's not like that anymore, for the most part. Living in a westernized, affluent society, we have retirement homes, nursing homes, in addition to Social Security and retirement funds. The result of which is that parents and grandparents don't live in our homes anymore for the most part, but instead are in these homes. And because of the financial vehicles that are present today in our society, it can be such the case that they don't even need help financially into their old age, but until they die, can care for themselves with respect to the money that they need. The danger with that, beloved, is that when we look at widows and when we look at aged parents, we don't do anything in caring for them, but simply focus on us as families and our children and let everybody else care for the widows and the aged saints. I am not saying tonight that we cannot use retirement homes and nursing homes and Social Security and retirement funds. Of course not. We can use those things. But let us not use those things to neglect of the calling that we have to be very active in the care of widows and aged saints. Tonight, I'd like to focus on the care as it is expressed in verse 4 of the text, the care of the widows who have family. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'll focus on the responsibility of the church with respect to widows and the relationship between those two, the church and the family, in caring for those who have need. But tonight, looking at verse 4 in particular, "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." So here we're not dealing with that class of widows that are true widows in this context, but those widows that have, as the text says, children or nephews. Just a note on the translation there. Nephew, in our way of thinking, is the son of a brother or a sister. Not the best translation there. Now, that's not to say that a nephew cannot be involved with the care for an aunt who may be a widow, or an aunt and an uncle in their old age. They can be, of course. That's beautiful when, even more in an extended way, we care for one another as families. But the better idea expressed here is that it is children and grandchildren, the immediate descendants of a woman who is a widow, or even parents. Because notice, the Apostle Paul broadens it in verse 4, to show piety at home and to requite their parents. What Paul is saying here is that those who have a widow for a mother, or parents in their old age, they must learn to show piety at home. That is to say, they must show honor and respect for them. They must show godliness in this area of their life. This is true for everything. We need to show godliness in every area of our lives, particularly this area when it comes to the care for our mother who may be a widow or our parents. And then he says that they must learn to requite their parents. And that's an important phrase there. Requite, not a word that we're really familiar with. A better way to think about that would be to repay. And let them repay their parents. And the idea expressed here by the Apostle Paul is that our parents are worthy. A widow who has children and grandchildren is worthy of the care that we are to give to them. It's appropriate that this comes up in connection with the fact that today is Mother's Day. I realize that Mother's Day is not first and foremost a Christian holiday, but that doesn't take away from the fact that on a day like this, we can recognize in a special way our mothers. We always need to recognize our mothers as husbands and as children, and always we need to be appreciative and thankful for them. All of our life long, all throughout the year, you children and you young people need to tell your mom, I'm thankful to God for you. Do that. Do that often. Tell your mom, truly, from the bottom of my heart, I am thankful that God has given you to me as a mother. As husbands who are fathers, the same thing needs to be true. Let a day not go by in which we do not pray to God, thanking God for the wife who is a mother and the work that they do as mothers, and express that often to your wife who is also a mother, for the great work that she does in caring for the children of the home. We always need to be thankful and appreciative for mothers, but on a day like this, it's good to recognize that in a special way. And particularly in the context of what we're talking about here, you children, consider what your mother does for you. And when I say children, I refer to you who are very young, and I refer to you who are older. We're all children. But think about what your mother has done for you in the years of you growing up. You can start as an infant. All of the work that mothers do in caring for you as an infant when you are altogether helpless. Doing all of that hard work when that baby comes home from the hospital, staying up in the middle of the night, going on little sleep for a couple of months because you can't get more than a few hours of sleep continuously, changing the diapers, feeding the bottles, comforting when crying and distressed, all of those things, caring for you as an infant. It doesn't stop there, but it goes throughout your entire life. And too easily, we as children and young people take for granted what our mothers do in caring for us. Caring for us with respect to all of these physical needs that we're talking about. It doesn't just happen that lunches are made for school, and it doesn't just happen that our clothes are always clean and ready to be worn. It doesn't just happen that the bed is cleaned and made. It doesn't just happen that we have the house in order so that we can be a well-functioning, tidy family. All of those things fall upon the burden of a mother in the home, and so much of it goes unrecognized, and so much of it is behind the scenes. And those are the physical needs. Think about what your mother has done for you with respect to instruction and spiritually. From the moment you were able, teaching you about God, directing you in the Word of God, instructing you, chastising you, so that you turn from your ways of sin and turn to God. And yes, when we are older, we can look back on that and say, thank you, Mom, when Dad was gone at work, for being hard on me and disciplining me so that I would be led to the Lord in repentance. It is amazing when you consider the work that mothers do for children. And what Paul says here is that when you consider that, the only response that we can have is that when they are aged and when they have needs, you provide what they need. It's the height of unthankfulness to be unwilling when your mother or your father has needs to say, no, selfishly I'm going to take the time for myself and take the means God has given me and only use them for myself and not to help my mother and my father who are aged. If you do that, what are you saying about the 20 years that in a very direct way your mother and your father cared for you? Apostle Paul is saying that we need, if we have a widow who is our mother and our grandmother, and even parents, as he broadens it out, we need to care for them in all of their needs. What does that care look like? Certainly it is financial. I mentioned a moment ago the fact that today we have Social Security and retirement funds, and even is it the case that when our parents die, they're able to leave significant inheritances for children and grandchildren? If that's the case, possibly this financial aspect falls away. But if it is the case that there needs to be financial support, let us be there as children, and yes, even as grandchildren, if we are able to help when there is a need. But it's not just financial. It's caring for them with respect to their everyday needs here on this earth. And I reiterate the danger that I expressed a moment ago, the danger that we simply let everyone else do this for us. We must not let that happen. Be there for your parents or for your mother who is a widow when they move out of their house or condo and need to go to Sunset. Help them through the process. Be right there by their side. Even though they may be able to drive, go with them to the doctor's office so that you can help them understand what the doctor is telling them and help them through what is a difficult situation they may be going through. We live in a technologically advanced age. It's fascinating to think about what some of the aged saints did not have when they were born, but now can experience in the world in which we live. The development in a lifetime has been amazing. With respect to everyday needs, be there to help them with the simple things of life, of operating a remote to watch the news on TV. Church, no place they would rather be than in the house of God. Make sure they know that I will do whatever it takes as a child or a grandchild to make sure that you are in God's house. And when you're not able to be there anymore, or when you're only able to be there in the morning and not in the evening, I'll make sure you understand the technology so that you're able on the Lord's Day to sit and listen to the Word of God and be fed by God's Word. The point simply is that though they may live in a home where they are cared for, and though they may have their financial needs cared for, be there for them and help them in their everyday life. And it's not only caring for them when there is specific needs, as I expressed a moment ago, but it's simply being there for them, visiting them. Look at yourself very seriously in this regard. How often do I make the visit and sit down and have a cup of coffee with mom or dad or grandpa and grandma, especially if she is a widow and alone? We have our own lives. We have our children. And it is not about whether or not we have time. It's about whether or not we make time to be with them. And especially if they're a widow who don't have anybody else, the simple visit and the simple morning of a cup of coffee, talking about their days and talking about children and grandchildren, can do wonders in keeping spiritually strong and vibrant an old woman in the church. Be there for them. Examine yourself carefully. Say, can we do more to be there for our parents, especially if they are widows. Paul lays out the significance of this in verse 8. The significance of not doing this, of not caring for them financially with respect to physical needs, and more broadly with the last point that I just made. Verse 8 says, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Remember the context of the chapter. The context is those who are widows, parents. If any denies caring for their own house and more broadly, or their own, and then more specifically rather, those of their own home, a denial of the faith and worse than an infidel. Let that sink in. Strong language to describe the truth that we are talking about tonight. Not to do that as a denial of the faith. If you claim to be a Christian and love the Reformed faith, by virtue of that fact, you will have a love and concern for widows and parents, and you will care for them. It goes back to what I said earlier with respect to the second great commandment. God calls us to love one another, to love our neighbor, to love our family. And part of being a Christian is expressing that love. And part of believing the Christian faith is caring for one another, caring for those close to us. If you say you are a Christian, but yet in selfishness for your time and selfishness with respect to your money, are not willing to do what this says, in that respect, it's a denial of the Christian faith. You're saying one thing as a Christian and living an entirely different way. In a certain respect, we all probably fall short in that regard. And we bring those sins before the Lord. And we ask God to help us to be better in this area of our lives. But then he even adds that end, that you're worse than an infidel. Worse than an unbeliever, if you refuse to give the help to your family that they so need, particularly in this context, your widowed mother and aged parents. What Paul is saying here is that even in the unbelieving world, this takes place. We don't deny the fact that in families outside of the church, there is not a bond between mother, father, and children and grandchildren. There most definitely is a bond there. They're united by blood. And what Paul is saying here is that even outside of the church, children and grandchildren care for their parents simply because there is that bond. They want to because they love them. If that happens outside the church, but yet in the church, where the bond is even different, the bond is even stronger. It's not only blood, but it's the Spirit, it's faith. It's united by the fact that we're saved by Jesus Christ. If they'll do that out there, and we refuse in the Christian church and in our Christian faith to do this, we're worse than them. And it may be a matter of degree here. I hope and pray we are doing this. But hear the strong language tonight. Look at it honestly for yourself, not for others. And go forward, striving the best that we are able to care for the widows who are in our family and our parents. Paul realizes that the church needs to be instructed in this area. He says that specifically in verse 7, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. And there's some ambiguity regarding what the they is. They may be blameless. I believe it harks back to verse 4, the children and grandchildren. In between 4 and 7, the widow is always identified as a singular, the widow, a widow. But then in verse 7, the antecedent or the pronoun is plural, they. And therefore the antecedent, what it harks back to, is the other plural in verse 4, namely the children. What Paul is saying is that these things need to be charged. emphatically taught to the church. And that's implied as well in verse 4. But if any widows have children or nephews, let them learn first to do this. They need to learn to do this. And the implication here is, number one, that they need to be taught, verse 7. The implication as well is that there can be weakness in this regard. There can be sins in this regard. That's why we need to be taught this. That's why we need to be charged to do this. Because always we need to examine ourselves whether or not we are being faithful in these matters. We desire to be blameless. We don't want the world to be able to look at us and say, look at those people. They don't even care for the widows. And they don't even care for their parents. We desire to be blameless. And so Paul tells Timothy, charge the people to do this. You've heard that this evening. And you've heard the significance of these matters. And ultimately it is because, as the end of verse 4 says, it is good and acceptable before God. It's good in the eyes of God to be a church and to be families who love the widows and care for them in all of their needs. It's good and acceptable before God because God loves them and because Jesus Christ died for them and saved them. And as an expression of our love for God and as an expression of God's love for them, beloved, let us go forth showing this love for the widows in the church. And let us do it in such a way that it is well-pleasing to our God in heaven. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for the word that we could consider tonight. We pray for Thy blessing upon it. We pray that Thou wilt continually care for the widows in Thy church and in this church as well. Bless us in the remainder of our worship as we sing. And for Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.